You'll remain standing for our scripture lesson for the sermon from John chapter 8, verses 56 through 59. The word of the living God. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing, bore out our ears, so that we may hear your voice and live our lives according to your pleasure. We pray this through Jesus, and amen. You may be seated. But we will press on in this Advent series of sermons here in John chapter 8, a bit of a whirlwind of an introduction last week on John chapter 8. What we're going to see today is how this Advent season, being one of expectation, is also one of fulfillment, that God has fulfilled His Word, that God has fulfilled His promises. And so that's what we're going to find in Advent. That's what we're going to find in this passage. Today, we're going to pause, we're going to slow down and take a look at one of Jesus' startling statements in this passage. We're going to see how this startling statement declares the wonder of God's faithfulness. Because if the gospel is about anything, and of course, Advent is significant for the gospel. If Advent is about anything, it's about God's faithfulness. And so in Advent, we find God's promises coming to light, or coming in the flesh, coming to us. We're going to see that. We're going to see the wonder of God's faithfulness here, the eternal plan of the Lord, and how He fulfills His promises. Now, we've seen this elsewhere in Scripture. We've seen this in other places. You'll remember the story of Ruth and how there's even an Advent hint, a Christmas hint, how a barren woman, a woman without a child, went to Bethlehem and through her a son was given. Through her a son was given. We've seen that in Ruth, and all the way through the Bible we are seeing, the gospel of God's faithfulness there. We've also seen this with the life of David, within the line of Ruth. You'll remember that David's son Absalom was a traitor. David's son Absalom, all of his hair, wanted to be the heir, but he was a traitor. And he died. He was hung. He was a false Messiah. He was hung between heaven and earth. He was hung on a tree because all that hair was caught up in the branches. And Absalom was seen there. And remember, he was a traitor against King David's kingdom. And there's this Advent, these hints toward the fulfillment of God's word, even with Absalom. What did David say about the traitor? He said, Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, how I would have died in your place. And that's a hint to the upcoming fulfillment of the gospel, where the king isn't just willing to die for traitors, actually does die for traitors, you and me. So we've seen that God's faithfulness and the gospel of Advent, we're going to see this again with this startling statement. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Okay? Now, Abraham lived about as long before the birth of Christ as we are now living after the birth of Christ. What does this mean? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. No matter what we do with these words, no matter what we do with this passage, as it pertains to Abraham, we must keep this in mind. The entirety of the Scriptures speak of Jesus. How does the story of Abraham speak of Jesus? We need to remember that from John chapter 5, Jesus said, "You're busy searching the Scriptures and you think that in them you have life." Well, those Scriptures, all of those Scriptures of the Tanakh, of the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets and the Writings, they speak of me. Even the Law of Moses speaks of me. So how does that speak of Christ? In Luke 24, you'll remember Jesus met with the husband and wife on the way to Emmaus. Jesus breaks bread after he prays when they're having a bite to eat and their eyes are opened. Wow, didn't our hearts burn within us when he was saying these things? Well, Jesus seemingly just disappears. He just disappears from Emmaus and shows up in Jerusalem where the rest of the disciples were there. And they had locked themselves into a room for fear. Christ has died, fear of the Jews. They're locked away. And Jesus shows up. How'd you get in here? How'd you pass through the walls? And Jesus knows that they're astonished as well as filled with fear. And he says, "Do you have anything to eat?" He wants them to know that he's not just some kind of ghostly spirit floating around, some idea, some hallucinogenic whatever. "Do you have anything to eat?" And they say, "Well, you have some broiled fish here and some honeycomb." And Jesus eats some broiled fish and some honeycomb, which a ghost could not do, would not do. So they're astonished. He shows up and he's very, this is the matter of fact, he's very material. He shows up and he eats. Well, there's more surprise. Jesus then begins to explain to his surprised and fear-filled, astonished disciples. He takes a look at the Law of Moses. These are about me. He then opens up the Scriptures to their understanding, to the prophets. These are about me. And then he speaks of the Psalms. These are about me. And it's wondrous. So whatever we do with Abraham, we need to be asking the question, and this will fill us for the rest of our lives. How does this speak of Christ? How does Abraham speak of Christ? I would like to share with you some of the things that have been said about this astonishing passage. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it, and he was glad. What are some things that have been said? Here are some things that have been said. Here we are. Some people have suggested that Abraham is alive and is looking at what is going on. He is in paradise surveying the scene. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and that he's seeing things. That's what some people have suggested. The problem is the tenses of the verbs. Jesus doesn't say, Abraham, no, Abraham is alive somewhere. But Jesus doesn't say, Abraham sees all this right now. Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced back then to see my day. He saw it back then. So that doesn't work. You can't say that Abraham is seeing what's going on. It's also been suggested that Abraham has some kind of transcendent timelessness. And I use the word transcendent on purpose, because as if he's higher and up there. Children, you can understand this. Imagine a mountainous island, a big mountainous island. And over here is a ship, and on the other side of the island is a ship. Some people in theology and philosophy have wondered about time, and this ship on this side of the mountainous island cannot see the ship on this side. They are prevented from seeing it. Well, some people have said that Abraham is above that, and he is transcendent, and he is timeless, and so he is up above, and so he can see both ships. And so they'll have this idea that Abraham has this transcendence. That's a problem too, because that makes Abraham out to be something like God. Can't go there. That's not what Jesus means. He can't see like that. He didn't see like that. Well, related to that is some people have suggested that Abraham, and this is really silly, that Abraham experienced some kind of time travel. Okay, that takes into account that Abraham rejoiced back then to see my day. They say, okay, back then, when Abraham was alive on earth prior to his death, that Abraham somehow traveled forward and took a glimpse of these days that Christ is saying this. Some people have taken the words of Genesis 24:1, which says this, "Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age." And they take they kind of take the translation and twist it and add some seasoning to it and knead it and move it around on the sheet, and they throw it in the oven and they translate it this way: Abraham has gone into the days. Because, you know, they want to have this high view of Abraham. Somehow Abraham, while back then, somehow traveled forward. He has gone into the days. That's not what Genesis 24 is talking about. Genesis 24 says Abraham's old. His days were being fulfilled. It doesn't mean that he went forward into the days. Okay, in one sense, your days are numbered. Our days are numbered. Abraham's days were numbered. He had fulfilled his days. That's all. That's it. The old man called his servant. Need you to go forward, find a wife for Isaac. Okay. Another idea. Some people say the emphasis needs to be on the rejoicing. Rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing. That's what's going on here. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And this all has to do with laughter. This all has to do with laughter, which surrounded the announcement of Isaac's conception and birth. And by the way, remember Isaac, his name means laughter. Yitzchak, Yitzchak, laughter. That's what his name means. Abraham and Sarah, son means laughter. They laughed because Sarah, Abraham's 99, and they hear Sarah's going to have a baby boy in her old age. Genesis 17, 17. Abraham hears this and he falls on his face and laughs. What? I'm old. Shall a child be born? Genesis 17, 17 says, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? I'm 99 next year, I'm going to be 100. This stuff takes about a year. And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear? Will she have a baby? Later on, Genesis 18. When three appeared to Abraham, they made an annunciation. That ought to be a hint. An annunciation that the next time they meet, Sarah is going to have a son. Sarah is in the tent, and she starts laughing. Well, the fullness of time comes. In the fullness of time, a son is sent forth, born of a woman, born under the law. Genesis 21, and the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and Yahweh did for Sarah as He had spoken. He kept His word. Remember, gospel is always the faithfulness of God. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. As we read our Bibles, those things ought to be, lights ought to be going off, flags ought to be waving. Did you hear that? At the set time. Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born... Okay, I'm hearing that. Read on. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah had born, Yitzchak, laughter. Then Abraham circumcised his son Yitzchak when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh. And all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. Laughter. Well, it seems like when the announcement was made, though, They were laughing not out of raw faith, but out of, you've got to be kidding me. Jesus says, Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced. Seeing. It has been suggested, and this is close. By the way, there's mystery here, so I'm going to give you the best I can. Some crumbs, even around the master's table. Mysterious stuff. It has been suggested that this refers to Abraham's, well, he's a prophet. He saw something. Jesus said so. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham was told that all the families of the earth, all the nations would be blessed through him. Is it possible that this baby boy is the first palpable, fleshy installment of the Lord's promise that the nations, that the Lord will fulfill his promise through a child? And a child through a barren woman? That's astonishing. For Sarah was barren. She was old. 90-year-old women do not give birth to baby boys. Abraham saw my day. Here we are. Abraham saw something of Christ's day. He saw it from a distance, but he saw it. This could be likened to that event in the Gospels when the man whose blindness was taken away, his blindness was gradually taken away, and when he started to recover his sight, he said, I see men like trees walking. It's a blind man. What's going to happen when a blind man starts to get his sight? The light is coming, and it slowly comes forward. I see men, and they look like trees. I'm used to what trees feel like. They're upright, and they're various shaped, and they have wondrous stuff. This is wondrous. I fear that sometimes we have become so narrow in our Bible reading that we have not only forgot to pay attention to the details, but that we're so concerned about the New Testament that we forget about the Old Testament. We forget about God's faithfulness in His outworking throughout history. Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, listen again. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Go, Abraham. He went out and he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Yitzchak, laughter, and Jacob, the heirs with him, heirs of the same promise. There's something coming. Believe my word. God is faithful. For he waited, Abraham waited for the city which has foundations, whose maker and builder is God. There's something coming. This is the start, but there's more to come. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. God says so. Okay. Therefore, from one man, listen to this language, and him as good as dead. That's the language. He was that old. He's as good as dead. Were born as many as the stars of the sky, in multitude innumerable as the sand of the seashore. Wow. Faithful Abraham. Faithful Sarah. These all died in faith. Back then, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they saw them afar off, They were assured of them. They embraced them and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. There's something about our fathers and mothers in the faith. The Old Testament saints, they saw, could we say Christ's day? Christ's kingdom, Christ's city, the city of God from a far distance? Yes. Oh, but there's more. Let me read on. For those who say such things, they are declaring this plainly, that they seek a homeland. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly land, country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called God, their God, for He has prepared for them a city. By faith, what else did Abraham do? This is very important for what's to come, just a few more minutes. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Yitzchak. He offered up Isaac. Children, when did Abraham offer up Isaac? To do what? What? What's that? Sacrifice, that's right. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. That's interesting language. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. He concluded, Abraham concluded that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Huh. It's as if Abraham considered that even if Isaac was to die, God would resurrect him. That's from Hebrews 11. Abraham saw something. What did he see? You could be simple. You could right now just say, I know what he saw, Pastor Neil. I just read it in John chapter 8. He saw Christ's day. He rejoiced and was glad. Really? You're right. But I'd like you, if you have your Bibles, to turn back to Genesis chapter 22. I'd like you to see what Abraham saw. Turn back to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Genesis 22. We're going to read through this. You know this story. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and God said to him, Abraham, and Abraham said, Here I am. Verse 2. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Yitzchak, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I need to let you know something about Moriah. The root of the Hebrew word Moriah means to see. The root means to see. Go to the land of seeing. Abraham's been here before, not to Moriah, but when the Lord called Abraham, I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. So Abraham got up and went out of obedience. He got there and the Lord says, yep, there. Now I want you to go to the land of Moriah. Go to the land of seeing. Oh, okay. What I'm going to do now, since we're into the land of seeing, remember, Abraham saw my day. He saw it and he was glad. I'm going to emphasize the seeing in this passage. Again, it's the details. Let's read on. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, Moriah. And Abraham, verse 5, said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder. We're going to go to that place that we can see. We're going to go over there. There's yonder. And we're going to worship. And we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. Isaac asked a good question. He spoke to his father, Abraham, and said, My father. And Abraham said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, I'm seeing things, but there are some things I'm not seeing. Hey, look. The fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood right in order. And he bound Yitzhak, his son. This doesn't sound funny. There's no laughter. He bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar and upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the messenger, the angel of the Lord, called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am, here I am, here I am. And the angel of the Lord said, verse 12, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know or I see that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and he looked. And what did he see? There behind him was a ram, a male lamb, caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Yahweh Yireh, Jehovah Jireh, or some people say the Lord will provide. The Hebrew is actually the Lord sees. The Lord will see. Abraham called the name of this place Yahweh Yireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings will be upon you. Whew. Scriptures are wondrous. Go to the land of seeing. Abraham sees. The Lord sees and the Lord provides. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And so in what way are we seeing the gospel? We're seeing the gospel enacted. We're seeing Abraham see the fulfillment of God's promises from afar. We're seeing the Advent story take shape way back there. How? In a few ways. Here they are. And with this we end. First of all, through a miraculous birth. Through a miraculous birth. The language of the Apostle Paul, when he spoke of this promise coming in Romans chapter 4, he said this of Abraham. Abraham did not consider his own body already dead, or your translations might say, his own body now as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. That's the same thing that was said in Hebrews chapter 11. There's a deadness to Daddy Abraham. There's a deadness to Mommy Sarah. There's a deadness. They're not supposed to have babies, and there's a miraculous birth, and we're supposed to go, wow, Isaac, Yitzhak, this is astonishing. This was a birth planned by the Lord. This was the Lord's promise. There's going to come forth a son, Abraham, believe me. Well, it's going to be Eliezer of Damascus, isn't it? No. It will be someone that comes through you. Handmaiden? Ishmael? No. My word will be fulfilled. This birth, this wondrous, miraculous birth, was announced by angels, by messengers. We're going to come back in a year and you're going to have a barren one. You're going to have a baby boy. Huh? And this was a wondrous birth according to a set time. Just like Christ's birth. I will certainly return. Genesis 18:10 says, I will return to you according to the time of life. Sarah conceived, Genesis 21, and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. The Lord said it. They didn't have these, but fulfilled it. In the fullness of times, in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So it was a miraculous birth. Next. You're seeing all this now because we've taken the time to look at the scriptures. Next, Abraham's son was an only son and the son of his love, a beloved son. Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. We know that Jesus is the Father's only begotten son. We need to hear that and pay attention to that when we hear it in scripture. And by the way, the word beloved means the one upon whom love is placed. Jesus is the beloved Son. At baptism, at the transfiguration, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. But in Colossians chapter 1, God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So, miraculous birth. Only begotten son and son of love. Next, Abraham's son was to be offered as a sacrifice. That's incredible. Right. Abraham's son was to be offered as a sacrifice after a 3 days journey. You say, wait a minute now, there's not a parallel here. You're right. Because remember, Abraham saw this, he saw the city from afar. Isaac is not supposed to be the sacrifice. These are hints, glimpses, pictures, indications of what the Lord is doing, always proving his faithfulness. What is consistent? The Lord's faithfulness. What is different? Isaac's not our sacrifice. Jesus is. And that's why in Abraham's case, they took a 3-day journey, then the sacrifice, whereas in Christ's case, there was the sacrifice and then the 3 days in the grave. Why would they mention 3 days? We're supposed to stop and listen. Two more points. And with this we end. Because I just want you to see this for our Advent meditations this year. Abraham's son was expected to rise again. It's not just a miraculous birth. It's also a miraculous death. A miraculous resurrection. Abraham expected this. You heard this in the reading from Genesis chapter 22. Abraham said to the young men, remember you're thinking, what's going on? What's in Abraham's mind? They get up early in the morning and they take wood and fire and you guys stay here with the donkey. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship and we will come back to you. Some people think, hey, Abraham's just lying. He just didn't want them to know that he was going to kill his son. No. The reality is Abraham believed that God was going to be true to his word. And when we read this in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham believed God is able to raise the dead. He believed in resurrection. So miraculous birth, miraculous death. It's astonishing. And finally, last of all, and with this we close, all of this occurred not just in the place of the Lord's vision, sight, knowing of all things. This is the place of the Lord's provision. The Lord provided for his people. He provided for his children. He provided a lamb, a bound lamb stuck in a thicket, a lamb bound in a tree-like plant. A lamb, a male lamb, a ram in the tree, stuck, given. And in case we're not clear about this, that lamb was given to be slain because the Lord provides. This is our Advent meditation today on the second Sunday of Advent. May the Lord cause His Word to sink deeply into our hearing In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.